Good morning, everybody. So, the name or the title of my message today is Who Do You Trust? Who do you trust? No one. I heard somebody say no one. In today's world, that's probably a pretty important question. And you know, if you think about the word trust, even if we don't verbally say it throughout the week, we're thinking in our minds about that word, whether we realize it or not. Who do we trust? Do we trust the media? Do we trust the government? Do we trust our schools? Do we trust our teachers? Do we trust the person we work for? Do we trust our parents? Do we trust our kids? Who do you trust? And when you talk about trust, we all think, we all pretty much know what trust means, I think. And we start developing this idea of trust in our minds and our heads at a very, very young age. Very young age. Who do you trust? I started on this sermon probably, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks ago, and a couple of weeks ago, God woke me up in the middle of the night, it was about 1 in the morning, and I started going through this trust thing. And he reminded me that we do begin this trust at a very, very young age. In our developmental stages as a small child, we start learning what trust is. And he brought to mind to me a picture. And I know we've all, either as a child or as a parent or as a grandparent, I know you guys can get this picture with me. The first time you take your child, and I thought about a couple of summers ago taking the grandkids to the pool. Put the floaties on the arms if they don't know how to swim, okay? Water is a little scary for a young person, especially if they don't know how to swim. So you put the floaties on the arms, okay? So the next step is to get them into the water, okay? You get them into the water, and I'm thinking of Ireland in particular. And they trust you. Okay, you're the adult in the situation. You're the big person. They're starting to develop this trust. Okay, I trust Papa. I'm going to let Papa take me out into the deeper water, okay? And then Papa starts trying to talk her into, well, why don't you let me let go of you? No, Papa, don't let go of me. Well, you've got the floaties on. You'll float. No, Papa, no, don't let go of me, okay? Still developing that trust. You work that, you talk, you develop that relationship until the point where she trusts you, or that child trusts you to let go of them in the water, and they float. What you told them was true. And they see that that happens. I trusted Papa to do that. He let me go. I floated. She's developing trust. Now, you want to break trust? Let them go before they trust you. They won't trust you again in the water. Before they're ready, if you let them go and they get a mouthful of water or something like that, they're no longer going to trust you. Get them on the side of the pool. Jump in. Jump in. Trust me. Jump in. If you don't catch them, they're not going to trust you again. You better catch them. So we start developing this trust in one another at a very early age. And I would bet you, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I would bet you that every one of us out here has had that trust broken by somebody at some point in time. And it's an awful feeling. It could have been a close friend. It could have been a coworker. Someone you confided in broke that trust with you. Will you ever trust them again? See, it's hard. Once you break that trust, it's really hard to get it back. We're going to start out in Jeremiah and see what the prophet Jeremiah said about trust. Jeremiah 17, we're going to read 5 through 10 out of the NIV. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Cursed is the one who trusts in man. Now, what Jeremiah is talking about here is trusting in the Lord with our lives, our spirit, our whole being, trusting in the Lord. He says that person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert and a salt land where no one lives. I got this picture of, in my mind, of parched places in the desert in a salt land where no one lives. In 2005, I was in Kuwait. I was stationed at Ali Al Salim. And I was driving from Ali Al Salim to Kuwait City. It's about 30 miles from Ali Al Salim to Kuwait City. And I got to tell you, there is nothing out there in this desert. There's a few rocks here and there. There's a few bushes of whatever type, cactuses, or they kind of look like cactus, but they're not. Just scattered here and there. And as I'm driving to Kuwait City, I look off to my right, and you can see it's extremely hot, and you can see the shimmering waves. It was almost like I was looking at a movie. And out in the distance were some Bedouins with about 7 camels. There was 8 or 9 of them with these camels, and they were walking through this shimmering light in the desert out there. And my thought was, how can you live? How can you survive in that kind of desert, that heat? And it says right here, if we draw our strength from man, if we don't trust in God, but we draw our strength from mere humans, we're going to dwell in parched places of the desert in a salt land where no one lives. And I get that picture of that. You just have to visualize that in your mind, because in our lives here, in our everyday lives, if we begin to rely on someone else and not God, it's going to feel like that to us. We're going to become, we'll become isolated. You're going to start living in the world, which is a very scary place. Then he says, but blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. Who do you guys trust in? Whose confidence? Who do you have confidence in? They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. If you trust in God, if you put your life in his hands, you don't have to fear the things that come. The everyday things that we see, all of us, the financial hardships, the relationship hardships, the struggles that we have at work, the struggles that we have at school, the struggles that we have with our kids and our parents. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. See, we're talking about trusting God for our salvation. Trusting him for our salvation. Believe, have faith, and trust. Isaiah 12, 2 says, surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. John 14, 1 through 4. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe or trust in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Do you guys trust that God has prepared a place for us? You know what? The first step we take in our salvation is we believe. We believe in God. We believe that Jesus died on the cross, that through his death on the cross, he's covered our transgressions with his blood. Our sins have been covered with his blood. So that's our first step. We believe. I believe that that happened, okay? You move into faith. You have faith that that happens. Believing first, faith, and then you move into trust. Do I trust my life? Okay, I believe in Jesus. I believe in the cross. I have faith in that. Have you taken that next step in putting your life, trusting your life with God? Now, I'm not talking about just salvation here. I'm talking about your life. Relinquishing control. Do you trust him enough to relinquish control of your life? Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, or you trust in God. Believe also in me. See, he's preparing a place for us. Do you believe that? Do you have faith in that? Do you trust that that is truly what he's doing? And have you given everything to him? And I'm going to give you a couple of examples, and I'm going to relate those to us. You have to trust in what he has given us in many ways. Matthew 14, 13 through 21. This is a story where Jesus feeds the 5,000. It says, when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food. Jesus replied, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. Bring them here to me, he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men besides women and children. An amazing story. I didn't quite understand the whole story until something happened to me. See, I think sometimes it's easy, and maybe it's just me. I think it's sometimes easy to say, I believe in God. I have faith in God. I trust God. Until it comes to my finances or my personal life. So do I really trust God? Back in the late 80s, I was a young staff sergeant in the Air Force. We were stationed in Williams Air Force Base, Arizona. We were actually living on base. And it was Christmas time, about a month before Christmas. I love Christmas. I love what it represents, but I also love family. I love giving gifts to my family. Love it. It's one of the things I really like about Christmas. So, wasn't making a lot of money. We were going to church, and I was given very minimal as far as tithes. I wasn't tithing. I was just given very minimal money to the church. And I remember it was a Saturday. We hadn't done any Christmas shopping whatsoever. We couldn't afford to. But it was Saturday. I had to get it done because we had to mail everything off for our families, our moms and dads and stuff like that. So I told Marianne, I said, all right, let's just go do this. Let's go get Christmas. So we loaded the kids up and we went to town and bought Christmas for everybody. And we did it right. We bought Christmas for everybody. We get home that evening. I sat down at my desk to do the checkbook, okay? See what the damage was. See how we were going to survive till the next payday. So I sat down. I had all the receipts with me. And I started with this number here at the top in the register. And I start deducting, deducting, deducting. And I get to the bottom and it's the same number I started with. I must not be feeling good or something. So I started all over. Went in, deducted, deducted, wrote everything down, deducted, deducted, deducted. And it was going down. Then I got to the end and it was the same number. And I'm like, did I have a stroke? Is there something wrong with me? Did I forget how to do math? What's going on? I'm telling you, I must have done this 10 times and kept coming up with the same number. And all of a sudden, God said, if I can feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, don't you think I can buy Christmas? It gives me chills right now relating that story. It was, trust me. That's what he was saying. If I can feed 5,000 people, why can't I take care of you? Everything you have is mine anyway. Your finances are because of me. Your relationships are because of me. Don't you think I'm good enough to take care of you? That changed my whole thought processes when it comes to giving. Trusting him, stepping out in faith, believing in him. When something like that happens to you and you get a revelation from God, you're never going to forget it. So I don't know where you guys are as far as trusting him. I'm just telling you my story. You have to give it to him. I'm just telling you. Matthew 14, 22 through 31. Well, we're going to get out of here early today. Matthew 14, 22 through 31. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on in. Now, this is right after they fed the 5,000. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" See, Peter trusted God for a moment. He trusted him. He was afraid, but he trusted him for a moment. And then Peter let fear creep in. He let the wind scare him, the darkness, the waves. "Oh, I'm walking on water, but I'm walking on water." And he began to sink. How often do we do that in our own lives? I'm beginning to trust God. I'm giving more of my life over to him. But it's getting windy out here. It's getting dark. Maybe I should take control again. Maybe I should pull that back. Because I can handle this. Who do you trust? Yourself? Or do you trust God? See, he's given us everything we need, everything we have. If you don't believe that, you need to go back and look in your Bibles. He has provided everything for us, including the breath that we take. He breathed life into us. When that heart started beating in the womb, where do you think that heartbeat came from? Magic? He owns us, lock, stock, and barrel, yet he gives us the freedom to choose him or the world. Eternity in a place that he is, a room that Jesus has gone on and prepared for us, or hell? I mean, to me, it seems like an easy choice. Eternity with him in a place full of love, praising and worshiping our God, or hell. Eternal damnation, brimstone and fire, pain, suffering, agony. I think we lose sight a lot of times of what's really at stake. I really do. We wouldn't take those things back into our own hands if we really thought about it. See, God's asking us to get out of the boat. We think it's safe in the boat, but he's asking us, trust me. Get out of the boat. Quit relying on things, people. That doesn't mean that we don't have our trusted friends, people that we do rely on for comfort and uplifting. But when it comes to our salvation, when it comes to those final moments in life, who do you trust? Who do you trust? I can't get to heaven through Pastor Jim. I'm telling you, can't do it. The only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. The only way. Who do you trust? Peter said in 2 Peter 1:3, he said, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. His divine power has given us everything we need. Everything. Who do you trust? Amen. Amen. So, all I wanted to do today was just get you guys, get everybody to think, myself included, thinking, okay, so I believe, so I have faith, I say I have trust, but if I have trust, what am I doing? Am I actually stepping forward in that trust and giving my life to God? Not only my life, my finances, my relationships, everything. Everything. It goes on in Peter 1:3 says, through these he has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. And you guys have heard these not very long ago. I can't remember if it was Pastor Jim or Pastor Lee, but somebody had these very same verses up here not long ago. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. See, I think that Peter had love last there in that group. Love is the most important part of this. I'm going to have the praise team come up right now. Love is the most important part of this. So, do you love God? I've been asking you, do you trust him? Okay? But do you love him? That's an important part of this equation. I want to go back to the song that we were singing a while ago and the words that were in there. This is my desire to honor you. Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All I have within me, I give you praise because I trust you. All that I adore is in you. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. Lord, have your way in me because I trust you. I trust you, God. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that we would honor you with our lives, God. That we would worship you, Lord, with all of our hearts. And our desire, Lord, would be solely for you, Father. That we would trust you in all areas of our lives, God. No matter what, we would turn to you, Father. We give you the things that hurt us, Lord, that break us down. The enemy speaks into our hearts that is untrue. Father, we give all those things to you. We trust you, Lord, with our relationships, with our finances, with every aspect of our life, Heavenly Father. we give to you. And thank you, Lord, that you have honored us with your Son, Christ Jesus. That you felt that we were worthy enough, Lord, to send your Son to that cross, to cover our filthy sins with his blood. Thank you, God, that you found us worthy when many times we can't even find ourselves worthy. But you, O Lord, you loved us before we loved you. Thank you for that, God. Thank you, Father. We just ask your blessings upon our households, our families. Be with us in the coming week, Heavenly Father. And again, Lord, I pray that we honor you with our lives. In your Son's precious name I pray. Amen. You're dismissed.